Our first guest today belongs to a small group of Michiganians who have traveled at a speed of 17,500 miles per hour. We believe that's a record among current state guests. Beginning in the late 90s, Colonel Michael Bloomfield was part of three space shuttle missions to the International Space Station, the third as commander. He grew up in Lake Fenton in Genesee County. The Air Force Academy graduate began his flight career as an F-15 fighter pilot, then became a test pilot. Interestingly, he also played football in Colorado Springs for future NFL head coach Bill Parcells. Today, Michael Bloomfield's an executive with Houston-based Oceaneering Space Systems, which provides engineering and technological services to customers who operate in marine and space and other environments. And Colonel Bloomfield is in the East Lansing area today to talk about his extraordinary career. There will be a luncheon gathering with him as speaker, sponsored by Granger Construction at Eagle Eye. Colonel Bloomfield, welcome to Current State.
Thank you very much.
And to East Lansing. When and how did this interest in flight start to take shape?
It actually took place flying airplanes when I was at the Air Force Academy. When you graduate from the Air Force Academy, you get the opportunity to fly airplanes for the Air Force. And it wasn't something that I had planned to do, but because the opportunity was there, I went ahead and took the opportunity to go to pilot training. Loved flying airplanes. It's a lot like playing football. It's very operational. It's very demanding. Flew air-to-air in the F-15. And as my Air Force career progressed, I got to the point where the Air Force wanted to send me to a desk instead of allowing me to fly airplanes. And so quite by accident, I became a test pilot in order to fly the F-22, and that eventually led to the opportunity to fly with NASA.
But it wasn't a childhood thing. You weren't, at 10 years old, you didn't dream of being an astronaut.
So the only, that wasn't the career path I set out on. I mean, what I knew was my dad was an engineer for General Motors, and that's what I thought I was wanting to do. Went to the academy mainly to play football and get a good education. And then doors opened up along the way. My exposure to NASA when I was a youngster was, that was about the time that the Skylab stuff was going on.
Okay.
And I remember sending a note to NASA, and they sent me a big picture of Skylab, you know, a diagram of what it looked like inside. And that was the only thing I remember as far as growing up as a kid. But it wasn't a dream. It was one of those things that once I found out about it, though, I was very impressed with NASA and wanted to be part of their team.
One of the first things I think of when I think of my childhood was clipping out all of the newspaper clippings of the Apollo missions and gluing them into a scrapbook, probably like millions of U.S. kids. There is a particular appeal, though, for young kids, isn't there, in space?
Space.
It's apt to appeal to anybody of any age, but in particular for younger kids, or am I wrong?
No, you are exactly right. I have seen space just touch kids. We're going to go talk to a school this afternoon or this morning. And it is amazing how enthralled and how you can take a group of intermediate school kids and you can actually grab their attention for 30 to 45 minutes and not hear a peep in the room while you tell the story about what it's like to go into space. I mean, someday one of those kids might be the one that goes to Mars. And I remember my parents getting me up in the middle of the night, may not have been the middle of the night, seemed like it to me, to watch Neil Armstrong on the black and white TV take that first step on the moon.
Yeah.
And the whole world watched that. The whole world came to a stop for a little bit to watch that happen. And you can put the same dream out there for kids to say, hey, someday somebody is going to go to Mars and actually set foot on Mars, and that could be you. And as soon as they get excited with the opportunity, then they have to ask the question, well, how do I do that? And then you can start talking about the importance of education and math and science and get them headed down that path.
Colonel Michael Bloomfield is our guest here today on Current Space. Current Space? No, I don't think so. I'm getting Current State and Current Space confused here. Colonel Bloomfield was a part of three space shuttle missions to the International Space Station, and he grew up in Lake Fenton in Genesee County. In reading up on you, I got the impression it's unique for a trained fighter pilot to become a test pilot. Do I have that right? And why is that?
Actually, no. It's the number of people that become test pilots is very small. The Air Force has a school where there's only about 25 people twice a year, so they only train 50 pilots a year to basically become test pilots. What was unique about my career is there's a school out there called the Fighter Weapons School, which is the Air Force version of the Navy Top Gun. And so I went through that while I was a fighter pilot, and then I turned around and became a test pilot. And I'm only aware of one other individual in the Air Force that has accomplished that. It has gone both to the fighter weapons school, which is on the fighter side of the world, and also become a test pilot. Mm.
To take us back to your first space shuttle mission,
okay.
97,
mm-hmm.
or do I have that right?
Yes.
How did you feel just before that first liftoff?
So when you're getting ready to launch into space, that's a common question. What are you thinking about just before you launch into space?
That's the question.
It is. And just before you launch into space, you're very, very engrossed with the vehicle itself, making sure all the systems are working the right way, making sure the vehicle's going to fly the right way. And so you really don't have a lot of time to sit and think about what the heck am I doing sitting on 4.5 million tons of, or 4.5 million pounds of fuel. You just don't have the time. Mm-hmm. Where you do have the time to think about that, though, is the night before the launch, right? So you're getting ready to lay in bed and you're thinking about, what am I going to do tomorrow? Oh, that's right, we're going to be launched off the planet. And that's when the mind starts to wander as to what have I gotten myself into. The NASA team, though, is a wonderful team launching the shuttle. Very, very capable people. Everybody knows what their job is, and they do a great job of it. So when you finally get strapped into that vehicle and you get ready to launch into space, you are completely focused on the mission and what are my responsibilities and how will I make sure that I fulfill my responsibilities as part of this team.
Altogether, you spent 32 and a half days in space on your three space shuttle missions. When you meet someone who simply doesn't feel space exploration is worth the expense, how do you respond?
Well, I talk about the exactly what you had brought up before, is it enamors people. It's one of those things that galvanizes a nation or galvanizes a group of people as being awe-inspiring, and it inspires the next generation to want to do math and want to do science and want to explore. The symbolism of going into space is huge. It's an activity that can reach across international boundaries. Let me give you an example. Just last week, we launched an American on a Russian spacecraft with two Russians to the International Space Station. And this is despite all the tensions that are in the Ukraine right now. We still found a way, because of space, to let the two countries work together. And when you can work together with other countries, then you can accomplish great things on this world.
What was your most memorable sight in those 32 and a half days in space? What did you see that you tend to think of first?
Universally, everybody wants to see, what does my house or what does my hometown look like from space? That is just a natural human reaction.
It's impossible, isn't it?
It's really, really difficult, especially in daytime, because there's no little lines, you know, that have the dot with the name of Flint or Lake Fenton next to it. So it's very difficult to see cities from space during the daytime. At nighttime, though, you have all the lights lit up. And it's very easy, for example, when you fly across the United States to pick up Chicago first, because you fly across the United States from west to east, to pick up Chicago because of the shoreline on Lake Michigan. And once you find Chicago, then it's very easy to find Detroit, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Flint, then you quickly put all the highways together. And I know that my house sits just a couple miles south of where I-75 and US 23 come together. So as you're flying over Michigan at night, looking at all these familiar landmarks, you're trying very hard to find your own house. And what's fascinating is, on my first flight, I was doing that as we were flying over Michigan. I'm trying to find my house. 20 minutes later, you're flying over Europe, right? That's how long it takes to get from Michigan to Europe when you're traveling 17,500 miles per hour. And we had a Frenchman on board. His name was Jean-Luc Chrétien. He was the first Frenchman to fly in space. And he was on our flight. And I could watch him as we were flying over France, doing the exact same thing over France as I had just been doing over Michigan, trying to find his house as you're flying across the planet.
Amazing. Colonel Michael Bloomfield is our guest, the veteran of three space shuttle missions to the International Space Station. And he's in the East Lansing area here today. One of the shuttle programs, major disasters occurred after your three missions. This was the disintegration of Columbia on reentry, February 2003. Very tragic day. 7 lives lost. How did you go about processing that tragedy?
That was hard. On that flight were three members that had shown up at NASA in my class the same year that I had shown up. So we knew them very, very well. Our kids went to school together, played sports together. I remember telling my wife after it happened, you know, what do we miss? How did this happen? And I, at the time, after my third flight, had looked at saying, hey, you know, it's time to move on to try and find something else to do. But then we got wrapped up in how do we keep this program going? Because we were in the middle of building the International Space Station, which is up there right now. And so you make mistakes, and the thought process that I've always lived with is a mistake is an opportunity to learn. So what do we learn from this? What do we do different? How do we get better? And how do we continue to fly the shuttle? And that happened in 2002. We continued to fly the shuttle until 2012, and we were able to complete the construction of the International Space Station. And today, there's six people living on that station full-time conducting experiments and helping us understand how we as a human race can live and operate in space.
I know NASA is looking more at exploration of deep space. What can you tell us about that? What lay ahead, and why is that important?
So it's we have this gentleman named John Young who's got just a very interesting career as a NASA astronaut. Flew in Gemini, walked on the moon, was a first shuttle pilot. And he always says that a single planet species doesn't survive long. In other words, at some point, we as a human race have got to figure out how to live and operate on another planet, whether that planet be Mars or whether we colonize the moon. We've got to figure out, otherwise something happens here on Earth, we're not going to be around. So how do we do that? So what NASA is doing right now is in the process of setting up an architecture, and by that I mean big rockets and a capsule called Orion that we can use to go wherever we would like to go. It serves as the basis, the foundation for deep space exploration. So right now, NASA's mission is to try and get to Mars by 2035. We believe there's going to have to be international cooperation to make that happen. So we're in the process of building those initial steps in order to get us there.
We could talk all hour, but alas, we cannot. Colonel Michael Bloomfield was a part of three space shuttle missions to the International Space Station. He grew up in Lake Fenton in Genesee County, and he's visiting the East Lansing area today to talk about his extraordinary career and visit some schools in the area. Many thanks for joining us, and continued success.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.